The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Barely Filtered. I just got off a flight, like feels like 5 seconds ago, but I guess it was last night. So I was just in Italy. Maybe some of you will watch my stories. It was so fun, but such a whirlwind. So my sister Olivia, her thing is birthdays. She's really good at making everybody feel really special on their birthday. She's always been like that. Like when we were little and it'd be Mother's Day, she would be the one kid who makes like breakfast in bed for my mom and like makes the rest of us look like assholes. And it's so hard to reciprocate for her because I'm April 4th, she's May 8th. So she probably already has something in the works for her own birthday as well. And she wants to be taken care of the way that she takes care of everybody else. But it's like, so here I am making excuses already, but it's very hard to match that. And she usually already has like Jackson, her assistant, come up with something amazing for her. So Olivia went all out for my birthday. We were going to have a dinner at her house. And then she was like, oh, actually, I have this event that I have to go to in Italy. It was an exhibit for Dolce & Gabbana. So you guys, if you know me, you know that's like way above my fanciness level. I do not get invited to stuff like that on my own, although I'm trying to pretend that I do on my Instagram. I was like, oh, just me at my Dolce & Gabbana event. Like I was invited by Mr. Gabbana himself, who I actually did meet in real person. I didn't know that. I guess there's a Mr. Dolce too. I didn't meet him, but there's one of those. Anyway, so we got started. Is there a Mr. Dolce? I'm trying to just remember if I took off my pimple patch this morning. Yes, I did. Okay, so anyway, where do I even begin? So I started off my birthday week like feeling, I don't know, lately. So I turned 35. That is, for those of you who are kind of on my astrology bandwagon, it's before the midlife. They say like most humans live to like 75, which is kind of sad. I thought it was later than that, but like between 75 and 80, honestly, is like average lifespan, kind of if you're lucky. And so 35 is like just below that midlife. So I'm not quite at a place where, I don't know. It's like, it's not like a really significant year in astrology terms for those of you who care. Like more 36, 37, all the way up to like 42 are more of like an adjustment period where you kind of have like, you've had your major learnings. And it's like, if you don't adjust your life based on those learnings during that time frame, the chances of you making major changes later become slimmer and slimmer. It's a time when like you have more fire under your ass to make a change if you feel like you need to make one or take that risk, something like that. So I'm at 35. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm not feeling like it's a very significant year, but I am feeling like, okay, for instance, I was trying to buy something on Instagram and it was like, choose your age. Are you between 22 and 34 or like 35 and 80 or something? It was like you're really gonna make me check that box. Like I guess I'm part of the box that's 35 to 44 now, which is you know what, I'm actually feeling really good about it because I rekindled this. Okay, this is kind of embarrassing. I really hope he doesn't listen to this, but like I started kind of rekindling a flame with somebody who just like kind of flirting. This was a guy who's like my first kiss ever. And I'm already identifying too much of him. And I don't know, honestly, this is not going anywhere. It's kind of just because I'm bored just to talk to somebody, like, you know, have fun. I'm focusing on work right now. I'm not trying to get into a serious relationship with anybody, especially after my last, you know, whole stint with the con artist. It's like, I think I might need to take a step back, but I am having fun and like talking to people. Anyway, so he said to me, he was like, Ro is like what they called me in high school. And some of my family calls me and my old friends. He said, Ro, you're actually like, you seem more young now than you were back then. And I feel like that's a thing that we can so accomplish as we get older. Like, There's no reason for into our 40s, into our 50s, for us to feel like we're getting chronologically older. Yes, like our cells are getting older, things like that. But actually, our attitude can become much more young because we understand things better, like how the world works. We understand our place in the world better. We understand, hopefully, like what our gifts are, how we can share them. And that takes a lot of stress off. Like, I remember being in my 20s and feeling so fucking lost. Just like, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I knew when I was in college, before I finished my fourth year of undergraduate, I had already taken my LSATs, got into law school. Like, I was so like prepared for the next step. And then when I ended up getting to law school, like, it took me a full year to be like, I don't think I want to do paperwork. Do you have to do paperwork as a lawyer? They're like, yeah, you do. So like, my point is that I feel like when you try to make decisions before you're actually ready, mature enough to do it, you end up having to go back like 8 steps. And I feel like that was like the cha-cha of my whole life up until now, of like wanting to make those decisions really that I just wasn't ready to make yet. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And now that I'm 35, I do feel like I have a better idea of what my gifts are, how I can share them. I mean, I think there's so much flexibility around that. You can know generally what you're good at and how you can share it. But that's where the fun part starts. Like, now that I know what I'm good at, what I can offer, now I get to be creative about how that can manifest. You know, is it through, for me, in case anyone is wondering, I'll just tell you what my gifts are if they're not already so obvious. I'm just kidding. Just like being very curious, kind of using myself as a guinea pig and using my learnings to share with people. And whether that's through writing, whether that's through a podcast, whether that's through my Instagram, I feel like that's something that not everybody likes, which is nice because it can be a niche. Like, find something for yourself that not everybody likes to do. Like, I hate organizing. Nobody would ever hire me to do anything where I need to be on any kind of like a firm organization schedule or be in charge of anybody else's schedule. Oh, no, no, no. I can't even be in charge of like my own schedule. But like, not everybody likes to share their deepest, darkest secrets and mistakes, which I feel like for me, that actually does come quite naturally. So we all have our own shtick. And it's nicer when you get older to feel more comfortable in that and to be able to feel like we have options for what we want to do with them. Now, the money thing, that can be a little tricky because sometimes I feel like a lot of people like who are very artistic, like a lot of people in my family are very like very naturally talented at things like music and art. Unfortunately, society doesn't like compensate for that as well as they do some other things, or it's not as understood by society. I feel like if for people who are really good at a certain artistic ability, like for instance, my brother who plays like every instrument under the sun, they might not have the strategy for how to make money doing that, which is why I love to see on Instagram. Oh my God, I follow so many like sketch artists now. I started following this girl and now I'm going to have to find what it is. But she sits at cafes every day. She finds like a random person and she'll just sketch them and then give them the sketch and somebody else records, probably has a tripod set up, recording like the person's reaction to the sketch that she drew. And she's so talented. And I mean, you know, you'd never be able to make money on just giving away free sketches in the past. But now with something like an Instagram, which we all love to hate, it's so awesome because she gets to catch this. It gave me a great boost in my mood. People love it. And hopefully she's monetizing that in some way. Okay, so in Italy, so we're at this event. Dolce & Gabbana dressed us both head to toe. I'm like feeling so fancy. We go into this place. Cher is there. Demi Moore is there, who we were talking to for a little bit. She's so charismatic. So like, she's just like, it's really nice to see people who have been famous for so long still have this excitement about being there. Like, she was so happy to be there. She wasn't jaded. There was a couple other people who are also super famous that were kind of just like, I don't know. And it might just be how they present themselves on the outside. Maybe inside they're super happy, but they just seem a little jaded. And I just never want to be like that. I always want to be excited to be where I am, because it was exciting. Like, there was so much talent in one little space. And I feel like, you know, I don't get to experience that often. So for me, I felt really lucky to be there. And then also, of course, so Christian, Olivia's fiance, so sweet. He bought us private suite, which is like when you land at the airport. When we got back to the US, we didn't have to go through customs. They bring you, they like pick you up right outside this like special door off the tarmac, and then you go to this little restaurant and they do all of your custom stuff for you. They bring you your luggage. They send you home in an Uber. Like, this was so bougie for me, but I had so much fun. And then Jackson came, and Jackson is just so much fun. He's Olivia's assistant, and they did like this little party for me at the hotel. They got me a cake, and I got to practice my Italian, which sadly is declining. It's declined a lot. I studied abroad in Sicily, so I could speak pretty well when I like left that, but it's been like 15 years now, so not so good anymore. Sad when you don't, you know, when you lose those things that you don't practice. But also, I'm not going to, it wouldn't be a waste of time to practice my Italian with Rosetta Stone or something. But like, I just have so many other things that I would rather do.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emma Shagormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all, and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411, and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials,
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
So it was a quick trip. It was 5 days. I did my best to adjust to traveling in a conscious way. So as you guys know, I didn't drink for like 5 months. Well, every year I don't drink for like 5 months thinking it's going to last forever. And then I'm like, meh, I kind of forget why I stopped drinking to begin with. So yes, I was drinking on this trip, not as much as I usually do. And also, I, in order to adjust to jet lag, I always end up like, oh, I need this to be awake and I need this to fall asleep. And then I end up getting in a cycle of just complete horridness. And that did not happen this trip. So I'm very happy about that. I'm getting older and more mature. I don't need to like overdose on melatonin and, you know, whatever, NyQuil in order to fall asleep. I just really didn't adjust the time at all. But then when I got back yesterday, I got my kids back from my ex. Soleil, her hair literally, like they had the best time ever. They had a school break, so they were in Palm Springs with my ex. But when I got her back, I was like, when is the last time somebody brushed her hair? She had a full on like dreadlock on the back of her hair because she's just with her dad and he like doesn't know that you have to brush a girl's hair. Like, and she hates to, for somebody to wash her hair. And I don't think men wash their hair really. Like, I think men wash, at least my ex and Remy, they like maybe once, twice a week. But like, I wash my hair a lot because I work out a lot. So like, I need to. But Soleil's hair had not been washed in a week. It had a dreadlock in the back. Like, I brought her to school this morning and the teacher literally was like, we can always tell like what parent dropped her off, because when I bring her, I braid her hair. She's in a cute outfit. And when he brings her, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, he doesn't know how to even do a ponytail. These are some of the things about being divorced. And I mean, he just needs a little help with that. He doesn't think he does, but he definitely does. But it's okay. She's still happy. It's not like they're neglected. They're fed. They're just not groomed, really. One of the things I realized also that made me just reflect a little bit after I had kids for a long time, like I would say 4 years, maybe, traveling was really hard for me. And I would still do it. But by the third, fourth day being away, I would get kind of anxious and then full on like panicked by like the last day. It wasn't really rational, and I knew it wasn't rational, but it was still really how I felt, where I had a feeling that they thought I was like abandoning them, or that they were missing me. They didn't understand where I was. They didn't know when I was coming back. They took it personally. All of these things that, of course, everybody can be like, and everybody was saying, enjoy yourself. By the time you get back, you know, you'll wish that you like were more in the moment when you were here. And you suffer more than your kids suffer. They're fine. Like, they don't really have a concept of time. All of that being said, I realized that I saw something online. It said after you have a baby, after you give birth, it takes like 2 years for your hormones to fully adjust back. And so I had Rami 2 years later, I had Soleil. And so it makes sense like that for 4 years, I probably just like wasn't, I think I was just oversensitive about my connection with my kids. Cause this time when we got back from Italy, you know, we were in this little suite after we got off the plane, and they were like, do you want us to call you an Uber right now? And I was like, no, it's okay. I'll have lunch. Like, I was like in no hurry to get back. Of course, I love them and I missed them, but it's nice. And for those of you new moms out there, it's nice that I don't feel that same like anxious connection because it's just not helpful. You know, it doesn't mean the love for your child diminishes, but it's nice that as they get a little bit older, at least for me and what I've heard for other people too, you don't feel quite as guilty. And if there's one thing I've learned over the past, you know, almost 6 years of being a parent is that nothing is helpful about feeling guilty. I think a lot of times moms or parents feel like being guilty means that, oh, look how much I care. Like I'm a martyr. That means that I'm a good mom. That shows how much I care. If you don't feel guilty, then like you must not love your kid as much as I love mine, which is just not true, not helpful. And honestly, it's a mind fuck for the kid as well, because they don't want you to feel bad. And it makes, even what I don't do this to my son anymore. Like whenever he would like lose a tooth or like his birthday would come, I'd be like, oh, my baby, you're getting older. And he's like, and he did, it was hurting his feelings. You know, I had to stop because he wants me to be happy that he's growing up. And of course I am. But like having kids is a little heartbreaking because they do grow so fast. And, you know, just it's just a reminder to be in the moment. And long story short, I was happy that I didn't feel any guilt this trip about being away. I just enjoyed myself. So I had some drinks in Italy. I had, you know, wine with pasta. I had an Aperol spritz. It did not help me. Let's put it that way. Like, did I black out? No. Was I making a fool of myself? No. Did I forget things? No. Like, I'm not that kind of a drunk. Did it make me more anxious when I woke up the next morning? Yes, it did. Did it affect my sleep and make it harder for me to adjust the time? Yep. Did it make me look uglier? Yep. Did it make me feel crappier? Yes. But was it really nice when I sat down and they gave me like an Aperol spritz and I had this... It's that same question for me of like, is it worth it? And I don't think it is. And why do I keep going? Like they say the definition of insanity is like when you just keep doing the same thing over and over and you know the answer or expecting a different result. It's not that I'm expecting a different result. It's kind of like, and this is what I think my goal for my 35th year is going to be. I need to just start acting in accordance with what I know to be true. Like, and like being disciplined enough to just fucking do it and stay with it. And to know that also like different days and different times, you might feel a different way about it. But like having that unwavering single-mindedness that I feel like because I'm such a flexible person, and this is because my moon is in Pisces, for those of you who know that, like I just get, I can be convinced of different things in my own head. And then I'm like, oh, I just need to stick to it. Am I an alcoholic? No. Does alcohol make me feel good? Not. No. I mean, for like maybe 20 minutes and then you want more and then it makes you tired too. The one thing that I realized during my like experiments with being sober for long periods at a time, I can actually stay up later than everybody else. And then I'm like making breakfast the next day. I'm in a better mood than everybody for most of the time. So I don't know. And then what really goes up my ass is when people are like, everything in moderation, just like have balance. And it's like, no fucking Sandy, that might work for you, but it doesn't work for me because I just felt unhealthy. But it's weird, these like romanticized times that I've created in my head of like, when you're on an airplane, I want some red wine. And then of course, like you just end up being twice as dehydrated as you would have been. And I actually saw something on Huberman. There was a guy that he had on, or no, was it Huberman? No. No, it wasn't Huberman. It was something, I got to find him, but this guy on Instagram where I get all my news, he was like, you're actually better off drinking in the morning because then at least you have like 16 hours for your body to metabolize it before you are trying to go to bed and like get like deep rest, because we know that sleeping and rest is so important for our bodies. So the fact that we have like alcohol in the evening is just the worst time to have it. And when he said that it's you're better off having it like for breakfast, it made me really realize just how much we really should not be having it probably at all. But more on that, I am not drinking right now. Olivia's going to kill me, but like, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to be sober. I don't feel like drinking anymore. Like, I don't know how long it's going to last. But like, she's like, well, can you just start again? Like for my wedding at the end of June. And I'm like, you want me to start drinking again for your wedding? And she's like, yeah, like, I just feel like I want you to be really fun and like have a lot of fun. And that's part of the problem, because I feel like a lot of my friends and family rely on me to be the clown and to bring the party up a couple notches. But I don't need alcohol to do that. And the fact that they think that I do need it, or that they're worried that like maybe I won't be as fun without it, I feel like that's very rude and insulting. And if you have a family member who's thinking about cutting alcohol out of their life, I would suggest not giving your input about how much you appreciate when they're wasted or when they're drunk or tipsy. It's fun to have a companion to have a drink with you. Like, I get why she might say that, but also, it's more important for someone's overall wellness than to, I think we just all, the whole society, all of us need to relearn how to have fun and like interact with each other and party without alcohol. Like, I think about like the Hindu tradition, like in like Diwali in India, this is like a festival that they don't sleep for like a week and they don't drink in that religion. Obviously, I don't have like a ton of answers, but I did have alcohol on the trip. It made things harder for me, but I also had a lot of fun. So I don't know. I'm not going to drink indefinitely. And then I'll just let you guys know. But I am working on something else. I'm not drinking also for my hormones right now, because a lot of you were asking about skin. Like, I was sharing my acne journey and like hormonal health. So alcohol is like a hormone disruptor, and I really want to get in tune with my hormones. And I'm reading this book right now called Period Power, which I will go into, all about like the seed cycling, tracking your hormones, and really getting in tune with what times of the month are the best times for you to start something new, to go on a date, to, you know, to not make plans, or to expect that you might be more sensitive to feedback or criticism. Like, I feel like there's been so many times, even like as like a, you know, whatever, content creator, well, where like I'll post something in one mood or one day, and then like a couple days later, I'll be like, what was I thinking? Or like, and it's like, you think that you're crazy, but you're not crazy. Like, our hormones really do affect us so much with how much we want to express ourselves, how much we want to put out there. And then there's other times of the month where it's like, we don't want to be seen. And I think that's hard when people expect you to show up a certain way every single day. So anyway, I realize that this conversation is hard to just kind of glaze over in, you know, a 10-minute spiel. So I want to dive into it a little bit deeper. So our relationship to alcohol is very individual. And I think it's easy for us to, you know, have these categories that we've seen, like you're an alcoholic if you have a brown paper bag and you're sitting on the side of the road, or if your friends and family are telling you you have a drinking problem, or if there's an intervention. That those are, you know, some pretty blatant signs that you have trouble with alcohol. For people who struggle more internally with like anxiety, with the way alcohol makes them feel, and then are kind of going back and forth with cutting it out of their life, which is the boat that I would put myself in, I think it's just really hard for friends and family to really understand. And so my sister Olivia was like, you know what? No, actually, I'm just kidding. Like, do whatever you want to do with your drinking. Like, I don't think that you have a problem with it, but that's not for me to really express because I'm not in your head. And it's just, I don't know. It's definitely a journey that I think all of us are on individually. And one time I read that, like, you know, so alcohol is obviously a poison and it is addicting. It's just like, it just is a matter of time. For some people, it can make you addicted super quickly. And for some people, it can take an entire life to feel kind of dependent on it. And some people never get to that part of feeling dependent on it. It's just so individual. But ultimately, it's this dance of figuring out if if drinking is adding more value to your life than not. And then if you find that it's not, sticking with that and not having to be constantly reminded by trying it again and then figuring out, oh yeah, I don't like this feeling the next morning or the next week. So like for me, I find that like during long stints in my life where I'm not having alcohol at all, I have more energy for my daily tasks because, you know, if you're not a super, if you don't naturally have like a ton of energy or you have kids or you, things that are already requiring a lot of your attention, to then throw in something like alcohol, which is depleting your energy, it's just acting against you. So it's making these conscious decisions to help yourself out in the long term. And I think in our society too, right now, everybody's looking for that quick dopamine, the easy, the cheap dopamine, the fast food, the alcohol, it's whatever it is, you know, for you. And it's just having the discipline to know that in the long run, it's going to cause more problems than solve in that moment. And for me, like, I don't know, I've heard a lot of people be like, you know, I want to cut back on my drinking or I want to stop drinking, but I'm going to a party and like, I don't want people to think I have an issue with it, or I don't, you know, they're really worried about, or they don't want their friends to stop inviting them to things, or they don't want people to judge them. And I mean, I feel that for me, like it's been less of that and more of like, how do I pretend to be engaged for so long? Like sometimes, like I think you find out what like actually is fun and actually isn't. Like, do you want to stay and sit in someone's living room for like 6 hours, like you might do if you had alcohol? If you don't, when you're sober, then like maybe you didn't really have that much fun with it to begin with. So again, for those of you who are interested in learning just a little bit more about your relationship to alcohol and continue this journey with me, some of the books that I've loved are This Naked Mind by Annie Grace and Alcohol Lied to Me by Craig Beck. And there's a book called Alcohol Explained that's a little more scientific. And then also Huberman Lab, if you just look, type in effects of alcohol on the brain, he does a really good episode about that just from a scientific standpoint. And then again, just remember, it's an individual journey. Nobody has the right to judge you. And it's something that feeling guilty and feeling shame around is not going to help you with. So just have a little grace for yourself. Yesterday when I was on a flight, I asked my followers on Instagram to give me some topics of things to talk about. And of course, you guys have not let me down. What is the meaning of life? Did you get your boobs done? What's more important, length or girth? I mean, what's your body count? I don't know. Where do we want to go with this? What's my body count? I don't know, but it's more than my fingers and toes. Sorry. Are you interested in having more children? I am interested in having more children. I really do want to have more kids, but like I said earlier in this episode, it's really nice to be in a place not riddled by like just the chaos of coming off of birthing and feeding a baby with milk that comes from your boobs. I mean, I felt like I had superpowers during that time because you really do. You're very sensitive. But it's really, and I think maybe the third time around it would be different. The reason why I want to have more kids too is because I'd like to experience the whole process again with a new partner, to be honest. I don't know if that sounds weird, but I just feel like there was a lot of ways that my ex and I were not really great partners for parenting. We're better partners now that our kids are older. Our communication was just not there, and you really need to be on a good communication track with your partner when you have new kids, because things can get very just, you're super sensitive. You have needs that you might not even know how to explain. And your partner's not a mind reader. I could have done much better. He could have done much better. But now that I feel like I have some practice in, I would like to have another child. Also, just having so many siblings myself, I know how special it is when you get older to have that connection. And also having like a sibling of the same sex. So I have a boy and a girl, and there's something special about that connection that you have with a sibling of the same sex, at least in my experience. I think it's just, I'm just not close with my brothers in the way that I am with my sisters. So I would like to be able, I'd like to give my kids the chance to have that. But who knows? If I don't, then I don't, because I'm kind of really enjoying being able to just travel and and not have a baby on my boob. That's been fun. And did I get my boobs done? On that note, I did. So I had a fat transfer done. It looked really good. And then the fat started to turn into balls. I forget, necrosis or something. It's when the fat kind of dies. So I had to get it redone where they basically it was a lift. And so, yeah, that's why they look a little new. Okay, this woman wants to know, how do you masturbate when you never have before? Last week, an episode came out with a woman named Pamela Madsen who talks about how like 80% of women don't orgasm from sex, and a good chunk of women, I forget the exact number, but it's like over 20% of women have like don't know how to achieve an orgasm like on their own. And this would be a good place to start. Start with my episode, and then you can look more into her ways of finding pleasure in your life. And then just like the anatomy of the vagina itself, like you might have a, like your anatomy might be a certain way where it's harder for you to achieve orgasm, but it's never impossible and you're not alone. So go listen to the episode, and that's a really good place to start. Any more on cheater guy? He blocked me, which I thought I was already blocked, but then I saw somebody had tagged him in a comment and I clicked on his name to see if I was blocked, and I am blocked. So okay. Guess we'll never work out. Good luck with your family. Any recent dates? I have gone on a few recent dates. Nothing really. I'm kind of over the dating. Like right now, I'm not really in like an excited feeling about dating because I'm just really focusing on, I don't know. I'm like focusing on making my house look nice right now, buying plants. I'm like doing my work stuff. I think I just go through phases of caring and not caring. And right now, I think maybe I'm scarred from that guy. And like the sequence of guys that I kind of dated for the last year that were just not really honest. And it made me feel like in that energy space, I wasn't attracting the right kind of people. I went on a couple of dates with a guy and we got along really well. But then he kind of started being like, he wanted to call us dating. And I was like, well, I just don't know if I'm really in a space to like want to call us anything. And then he kind of kept like bringing it up in a joking way. But you know, when people are joking, they're being serious. Like there's always a little bit of truth to that. And he kept being like, well, since we're not dating, then I guess, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, it's just annoying when people do that because it's a way of pressuring in a way. Like it was clear that he was not happy that I didn't want to call us dating, which what does it even mean to be dating? Like I think that means exclusive. But the pressure that he put on me having to label us as anything was enough for me to be so turned off. It gave me the ick, and I told him that I think we should be friends. So I guess we'll never be friends. We'll never talk again. Because it's true. I mean, literally, if anybody said to me, which has happened before, like, let's just be friends, like, there's nothing more insulting. I don't know. But, like, what else are you supposed to say? It's worse to be like, yeah, maybe let me get back to you next week. I don't know. And then you drag him along forever. I freed him to find somebody else to pressure into being exclusive. Your journey dealing with ADHD, how have you dealt with it? What I've realized is like a lot of the brain health stuff is really closely related to hormone health. So right now, what I've been kind of focusing on is learning as much as I can on hormone health. And with men and women, it's so different. Like a man's cycle is 24 hours. A woman's cycle is like between 28 and 32, to like somewhere around there, days. The hormones that women release throughout the month help us feel good. They help us feel motivated. They help us feel sexy. They help us feel clear, organized. And like a lot of these symptoms, what I'm realizing, like whether it's ADHD, anxiety, depression, they're symptoms of hormone disruption. And there's ways where you can optimize your hormone health. So I'm going to try that. Like there's this testing called Genova, Genova does these testing packets. And they give you a little tube to spit into on different days of your cycle. So the first day of your period would be like day one. And then all throughout your cycle, you spit into this tube at a different time of the day. So my doctor gave this to me last year, and I could not get my shit together to start it. like I, there was never a month where I was like, well, this month is like a good accurate reading of where I'm really at, because like I said, I was vaping, which is a huge hormone disruptor. So I was like, I need to quit this first, then start it. Then my skin was so bad, probably from the vaping, from the hormone disrupting. So I didn't start it then either. And then I went on birth control to help my skin. So you can't accurately test your hormones when you're on birth control, because you're getting like fake hormones. So anyway, now I'm finally off everything and I'm ready to start this test. You spit into a tube and then it'll tell you, they'll give your doctor the evidence back, which, by the way, you want to see a hormone specialist doctor. If you send this to your general practitioner, at least in my experience, like their range of normal is just not optimal. Like, I feel like they're like, yeah, you don't have cancer, you're not dying. But that doesn't mean that you're operating as best as you can, which is why I've tried to seek out some of these more specialized or like naturopathic doctors. So the way I've been looking at my ADHD is through a hormone lens lately, which is why I'm reading this book called Period Power by Maisie Hill. And it was recommended to me by somebody on Instagram. And it's been really eye-opening for me because she explains a woman's cycle in four seasons. So during our summer season, we produce lots of estrogen, and this is the hormone that makes us want to connect with people, want to go out, want to have sex, want to get out of our house and go far to find a partner that is like genetically different from us. You know what I mean? So like makes us less lazy. So that we don't, like, this is how crazy our hormones are. We are wired to go seek a partner far away so that we don't like have incest. I mean, it's so crazy. But so this is one of the things she explained. It also makes us like hornier and okay, so that's our summer season. Sounds great, right? But you could feel this way, you feel amazing, and then all of a sudden you go into your autumn, which is like right before your period, and your mood shifts and you start like kind of, you are more sensitive. She explains it also as like a time when you're more in tune, you're more perceptive. Like you're kind of like, let's say during your summer phase, when you're producing all this estrogen, you like put up all these like, you know, hot pictures of yourself on Instagram, not me, just somebody I know, for instance. And then like you go into your fall phase, your autumn phase, and you're more critical, but you're also seeing things a little bit more clearly, which can be hard. You're more sensitive. So if we track our cycle and we know when we're in these times of the month, you can almost take the personal out of it and be like, this is a time where I probably don't want to plan a first date. This is a time where I probably don't want to set myself up for a lot of like feedback and criticism. Like sometimes I just want to like say my opinion on something, but like once I get the feedback or the backlash back, I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. But you have to know what you're setting yourself up for and you have to accept it. During the fall is when your progesterone goes up, and it's the hormone that is kind of makes you feel like you want to just tune in. And people say that like your psychic abilities can tune in during that time too, this is the reason why I wanted to go off the birth control, because women are so powerful, and the way that our cycles kind of mimic the moon and the tides. And if we know when the hormones are coming and what to expect from our behavior and like our inclinations, it just makes it so much easier to utilize our superpowers. So, okay, then the winter phase comes. She talks about winter is when you actually get your period. And during that time, you want to like be at home and not really be out. And, you know, you're shedding. If you're on birth control and you're not ever getting that period, you might never be giving yourself that time to rest, which is what, when I was on low estrogen, I didn't get a period at all. So you're kind of like, you're not using your cycle in order to take care of yourself. So winter, you have your period, you probably want to stay home. The thing is, like, we know when we have our period. So this is the one that's most outwardly obvious to us. But then spring comes. Spring is when your period is now over and you have this new jolt in, like, you know, a new lease on life, and you want to go out and you want to do all the things. But like spring, you're not really ready yet. So you have these like new sprouts. And she says that, like, but you're still really vulnerable to things like frost. So like you might have this great idea, but maybe she recommends like just giving it a few days to act on it, because you're going to have like a lot of motivation to get things going, but you're not quite right. Like you're still immature. So I don't know. For me, I just love thinking about our cycles this way, because as a woman, I think we've all been in a place where it's like, why did I feel this way today? But like 2 days ago, I felt like the world was ending. Or why do I start a fight with this person every day? Like when you start tracking your cycle, you might notice that like you have arguments with people around the same time every month. And it's like, nobody wants to admit like, oh, is it me? But if we learn our cycles, it kind of takes away the shame. It takes away the pressure to, you know, it doesn't mean you're crazy. And what is crazy anyway? Like we have a cycle that lasts 28 to 32 days of fluctuating hormone. Like, I mean, that is crazy. We are all part of this crazy dynamic. Well, us women are part of this crazy dynamic cycle. And also she goes into like menopause. And I love the way that she talks about menopause, because she talks about it as like, it is not the end. It's the beginning in a lot of ways. Like she talks about it as like the time when we're menstruating, when we're fertile, is the practice for this time after all of that's over. She talks about the phase after our fertile period as a time where life actually begins, which I love, because I feel like society, you know, we think about women over the age of 50 as like dried up and like we don't have any purpose anymore. But they're actually in a lot of ways more beneficial to society than women in their fertile window. And that's not to say, because our moods are so fluctuating, but I just love it. I think it's amazing to learn more about ourselves. I know from somebody whose moods have made me think, oh, do I have ADHD? Do I have anxiety? And then, you know, different doctors prescribe different things, but nobody has really checked the hormone levels. I'm just excited to take this next journey and figure that out. Another thing she talks about in the book is seed cycling. And seed cycling is really cool. So basically, like I talked about those four seasons, in each of the seasons, we want like whatever hormone is the star of the show for that season. So whether it's estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, that hormone might need more support. So you get your hormones tested. Let's say you're not producing enough progesterone during your autumn season, your fall season, like right before you get your period. There's certain seeds. So she was talking about sunflower seeds have like selenium in it. And there's like sunflower seeds, flax seeds, a few different types of seeds. And if you ingest those seeds during that certain window of your cycle, you can support your period. And this will help you if you're trying to conceive. This will help you if you don't have a regular period, if you have really bad symptoms of like PMS or mood stuff. So it's just really cool that literally this is just plain nutrition with minerals like zinc and selenium and like omegas that can help support the hormones that you're supposed to be, that are supposed to be functioning optimally during each phase. That's what I'm going to try next. And also, I think it's a really great practice for someone like me who feels scattered, she said that having too much estrogen can mimic the symptoms of ADHD. So make you feel super scattered, but also make you feel like you want to go out on a lot of dates. You want to you're like ready to go. You're feeling sexy. I'm like, I feel like she described my whole like last 3 weeks of life after I got off my birth control. So I'm like, I kind of like that. Like maybe I want to have a little more estrogen in my life. But that's so me to be like, okay, I want to feel more of that. Let me just eat. Now I'm going to like overdose on flax seeds or whatever makes your estrogen go up. I don't know. But I think it's a really good practice to track your cycle. Write, because I hate journaling. I feel like there's no fucking point. No one's going to read this. If I don't get a grade on it, or no one is going to pat me on the back and be like, good job. I really usually don't want to do it. But I think this is a great way to start your journaling if that's something you've been trying to do, because start on day one of your period, write a little about what happened, how you feel, say that it's day one, you got your period. Then now you're getting all this information about the times of the month where maybe you're getting in arguments with people, you're feeling like extra horny and ready to go. You're getting all this information about how you feel based on what cycle you're in. And from there, you can use that information to adjust your cycle with seeds. Like, is that not the craziest thing ever? It just, and we were just talking about this bird nest behind me. I had a dream about birds. I don't know, seeds and birds. And it's springtime. I'm feeling a lot of connections right now with this whole seed cycling thing. I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to start journaling. I have not got my period back, though, since I got off birth control, but my skin is better. So we'll see. TBD. So Geneva is the testing place. You can just Google it and take your hormone test, figure out what your cycle looks like. Then read the Maisie Hill Period Power book. She talks about seed cycling. And then you can literally just Google seed cycling. It's pretty easy. Once you know what cycle you're in of your period, you just eat the seeds during the certain cycle when you need support. And supposedly it takes like between 1 and 4 months for things to get back on track. And I'm excited to try it. I apologize for the scattered episode today. I am going to sign off and take a nap because it is like 2 a.m. in Italy right now. And I have to pick up my kid from school. So I guess I won't be taking a nap. Life of a mom, over and out.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.